Beloved Jesus, recalling his life, August 1953. My beloved friends of the ages, again, it is my joy and happiness to greet you. I bring with me tonight two of the fairest ladies of my kingdom, my own beloved mother and my beloved sister Nada, that through the triple action of our love, we may pour forth to mankind the feeling of the substance and nature of the God of life and Father of all that is. Will you accept in our presence that love until it becomes for you, each one, a palpable substance of light and becomes form in every manifest requirement of your experience? As we entered into the lower atmosphere of your earth tonight, it was with exceeding joy we witnessed the presence of vast numbers of the angelic host hovering in the ethers. It is a magnificent thing to find incarnate life streams whose heart's love is such that it magnetizes great intelligences from the upper spheres and the realms of light eternal, and draws them closer and closer and closer to this shadow planet to find the effulgent light from their blazing bodies blanketing the inner atmosphere of Earth and offering escape for the hungry souls who have slept so long within the garments of flesh and the creation that the human consciousness has folded around the light of the heart. My beloved mother, in her life experience through the ages, has always worked closely with the angelic kingdom. You will remember hearing that from her early girlhood during our mission in Judea. It was a simple matter for her to see and speak with the angels, Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael, being constant visitors in our home. Guardians of us through all those dark and desolate days when we were endeavoring, according to our understanding, to fulfill a certain destiny. Today, again, we come to the threshold of an age when the angelic host will walk freely with men, when the scales will be removed from the eyes of those who love, and when the effulgent presence of those majestic guardian beings may stand revealed, giving the strength and power of the Father to those who choose to shepherd the mankind of earth as they move forward into the light of the new day. Looking into your hearts tonight brings back to me so many memories that are woven into the substance of my own consciousness, and which I was privileged to take with me into the octave in which I presently abide. All the strength and sweetness, all the joy and love of friendship, of companionship, of cooperative endeavor, remain the property of the life stream for eternity. They are taken with the freed consciousness into the sphere of activity, where one becomes fitted to dwell, and there those memories become part of the higher consciousness, which one may revivify at will. Then when the life stream meets again the friends with whom he was formerly associated, these memories are revivified in his consciousness, and the joy and happiness of those experiences are lived again anew. As you begin the great service to light, in helping to lay the foundation for the new era, which will extend down through the next 2,000-year period, you remind me so much of ourselves when, some 2,000 years ago, we were humbly endeavoring to set into motion a new pulsation, a new era, a religion, which was destined to become one of the most predominant spiritual stimuli for the children of men yet to be born. Looking upon one another, seeing our few numbers and seeing the limitations of the consciousnesses, it was a trial of faith for us to even conceive of the possibility that, for such a small beginning, anything worthy of the name of a world order might grow. Tonight I look upon your hearts, each one, and I see both the sincerity and the light that is there. I see also the question within the soul as to the capabilities of the life stream to both fulfill its mission and serve the cause of good. And I say to you, be of good faith, for it shall be accomplished. I know, for I have walked every step of that way myself. How well I remember those early days in Egypt. I could not have been more than 3 or 4. I remember the heat of the sun on the sand and the cold floors of the temple by contrast with its great vaulted ceilings. I remember the chants of the Egyptian choirs, and I remember those lessons which reminded me again of my spiritual source. The dear, homely things of life become part of one's heritage for eternity. I remember my mother's long white fingers weaving the colored embroidery into the tunics which I wore, the shadow of my father's form as he stood in the doorway, and the comfort and the strength of his presence. I remember the long, toilsome journey back into Judea. I remember standing by the bedside of my father with my arm around my mother when that dear one who had guided and loved us through the years was being released from the bonds of flesh, and we knew the sorrow of parting. Then I remember, soon after that, bidding my mother goodbye and leaving her, so sweet, so young, so innocent, to follow the beat of my heart into India, with only a silent prayer to God to protect her during my years of absence. I remember, too, the joy of my return as I hurried up the narrow path to the house and held her close in my arms. I remember the dew on the grass of an evening and how, after the heat of the day, we would remove the sandals from our feet before we ate of the unleavened bread and drank the cold, fresh water from the well. I remember the melody of my mother's voice as she related to the disciples gathered around the story of my nativity, which later became the basis for your gospels. Much I learned of the art of storytelling from my mother, and much I learned of the elemental kingdom, for that blessed one was an initiate who had already mastered the power of entering consciously into communication with members of the elemental kingdom. She introduced me in childhood to the great healing spirit of the Nile, and this knowledge served me well when it was required of me that I still the turbulent spirit of the waters that frightened the disciples one day when we were together in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. All of these things, beloved hearts, you shared with me, the beauty of the great moon rising over the land, the brilliant morning sun, the heart cry of the people in their eagerness for relief from their distresses. These are the memories that draw us close in association, which nothing can separate. These are the sweet memories that bring to you my hand in friendship, my heart in love, and the power of my causal body I offer freely to you to do through you whatever you require in my name. Beloved friends, you now face the initiation in which you shall consciously join your outer mind with your own Christ self under the direction of Lord Maitreya, as I did. As you come to the culmination of that spiritual experience, I offer personally to stand your sponsor, giving to you the strength of my light and the courage of my own life experience to use as you will. In the ethers above certain localities on the earth's surface are placed exquisite temples of the angelic host, the outpouring of which is a tremendous and powerful action of the sacred fire. I have seen these temples lowered from sphere to sphere, dear hearts, and it is a magnificent experience to witness the mechanical precision by which perfection is externalized in the higher octaves. Before my final embodiment, it was thought wise by the Lords of Love that I abide for a time in the aura of Our Father in the heart of the sun, where I might acquire balance and attunement in my bodies and become blanketed with the consciousness of His all power, thus making it possible for me after taking embodiment to manifest as nearly as possible His nature. While I was there, I visited the Temple of the Sun in and around that first great sphere of blazing light. Temples created out of the electronic substance that makes up the beautiful sphere in which great and mighty beings function, creating foci of the sacred fire and directing its substance forth to radiate and bless all who dwell within that sphere, and from there into the one immediately below. In this lower sphere, certain sensitive life streams picked up the vision of the completed temples. In consciousness, they entered the temples of the upper sphere, recorded in mind and feeling their beauty and perfection, and on their return to their own sphere of activity, they in turn drew the electronic light substance and recreated the temples held in their vision, not quite as perfectly perhaps, being a little more dense in appearance, but yet beautiful in their own right. Then likewise, into the third sphere the vision was drawn, and similar temples were created from the beautiful electronic substance that forms the atmosphere of that realm, and on until some of these temples were created down as far as the etheric realm, where they yet await the receptivity of some incarnate life stream to draw them into physical form. You enjoyed the glory of the temple life on Lemuria, on Atlantis, and early Egypt, as well as the glory that was once in Shambhala, and China, and India. But many of these temples from around the sun have never been brought below the etheric realm. Our Ruby Temple is such a one. The Christian dispensation has come and almost gone, and although great beauty has been expressed in the great cathedrals of earth, some of your beautiful land of America, I am hoping, before the final pulsation of our dispensation closes, that some life stream will externalize that Ruby Temple and that it will stand an expression of Saint Germain's golden age as a permanent monument of our love for him. How can I tell you of my mother's and my love for him, for the kindness that we knew in his presence, for the warmth of his strength? O beloved ones, through all eternity, we shall serve his light for the years of protection that we knew through his sacrifice and for his kindness to us during our ministry in Judea, in his embodiment as Saint Joseph. Beloved friends, never are forgotten the kindnesses rendered in the name of life to those of us who are now free. Not a cup of cold water given in our name goes unnoticed. Each act is recorded deep in our hearts, and the gratitude and love of our spirits enfold each one who has served us so faithfully, century after century. You who have embodied your energies in the cause of God, to you I give my gratitude for remembering me, for using my name and my consciousness, and for bringing me back now through the veil into the close association that we once knew. Beloved ones, weary not in well-doing. Your work is well begun, and the great age which is coming will see us all united, masters, angels, elementals, and men. It will be a beautiful experience when the various kingdoms walk hand in hand, heart in heart, when the songs of love and light rise from all lips and join the music of the spheres, when this sweet earth will become the shining star of light, which was designed by the Father, held in the heart of the Mother, and destined to be externalized through the sons and daughters of that blessed and loving one. I thank you, and I love you, Jesus.